Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Predestination. Many have a hard time understanding that all people are predestined by God. For some, it sounds like we don't have a free will, because all things are predetermined by God, and therefore it doesn't matter what you do. But that isn't true. Pastor John uses the biblical account of Esau and Jacob to show how Isaac and Rebekah were promised an heir by God, only to find out they had twins. Esau was the firstborn and rightful heir to carry on the bloodline, but he was hated by God, whereas Jacob was loved. Both were sinful, so how could God possibly love one sinner but not the other? Repentance. God knew that Esau would spurn his birthright, but Jacob would crave to be a man of God with a repentant heart. God is righteous, all-knowing, and never surprised by our actions. He has given you a free will, but He also knows in advance how you will use it. This message is entitled Part 2, Every Human is Predestined. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, October 25, 2009. And today, we're going to be talking about that every human being is predestinated. Let's stand and let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank You and praise You right now for these moments You've given us, that we can get into the Word of God, and we can learn. Not only learn, we can also live according to what You have shown us, that we will have not just the talk, but we also will have the total walk and be victorious. And thank You today, Father God, for another learning experience. Another thing we're going to learn that would help us to be stronger this coming week than we were last week. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read to you from my outline here just to begin with. The comments made by God about Esau, as recorded in Genesis chapter 25, are difficult for most Christians to understand. And I have never heard a sermon preached on the subject, and until now, I have never addressed this passage in the Bible, where God said, Jacob, I loved, Esau, I hated. While Rebekah was pregnant with twins, it was unnatural how the two babies struggled with each other in the womb, and it must have been scary for her. Let's read from Genesis chapter 25, and you pick it up in verse number 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together with her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. You and I have probably read verse number 22 many times. Have we really never thought about it? But she had twins. And the twins, actually, there was a fight inside her womb. And normally you have little babies, they don't fight. There was a spiritual fight. And he said, you know, I have to inquire of the Lord, why is it so? And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. We have read before that the Bible says before we were even conceived, God knew us. And in this case now, with Rebecca, two baby boys inside a womb, there was a battle. Let me take a short break now and share this with you. Last week, in a staff meeting, I asked the people this. I said, now, can you give me some constructive criticism or some enhancement? And it was unanimously spoken and said this, that you smile too little. And I thought about that, and being born in Sweden, where it's very cold, at least it was, we kind of were a chosen, frozen group of people. And so we never really smiled much, so I'm happy, but I told the group this, I says, now, if I'm preaching on hell, it is very difficult for me to smile and talk about hell at the same time. And I said, I haven't been to acting school, and I don't plan to go. So I said this, I want people to know that I'm smiling on the inside. So if somebody will give me a sticker with a smile on it, I said, I will wear it, and that way everybody knows that I'm smiling. Okay? That's my smile for this sermon now. So everybody be happy now. Notice, I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I'm just very serious. So anytime you feel I'm too serious, just look down on my lapel and get a little smile from me. That should make you feel better. I was going to say that to begin with, but I forgot it. All right, let's go back now to Rebecca. We can deduce then, I'll read from my outline. There were two spiritual powers present in both boys who were clashing during the formation of the two boys. The Holy Spirit protected Jacob while demons were in control of Esau. Let me try to illustrate that for you. About 25 years ago, we had a family in our church, which was a different church than this. And they had a girl that was autistic. And she was slightly retarded, but retarded enough that she could not go to a regular school. And the parents went through deliverance. Actually, the mother went through deliverance. And they asked us to talk to the girl, so I talked to the girl. And now, she was that time was about 17 to 18 years old, very sincere, had accepted Christ, and, you know, it's just like a child, that they would tell you the truth. And she said, I want to tell you something, she said. Well, I was in my mother's womb. And she said, I remember this. I said, okay. She said, a demon came in and entered into my body. And she said, this has been my problem. So I asked the mother at the different occasion, I said, now, what happened in your personal life? She said, when I carried my daughter, she was not saved then, she said, I was heavy into witchcraft. And I did a lot of different things in the occult. We gave permission for the demons to strike this young girl. Most of us don't know too much about demons. We don't want to know too much. But it is a force to reckon with, and we need to pray against it. In verses 24 to 27, we have a description of the birth. Have you read this? And when the days to be delivered fulfilled, behold, there were twins in a womb. And the first came out red over like a hairy garment, and they called him Esau. And after that came his brother out, his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bore them. Why did God give Isaac and Rebekah twins? Having twins was a disaster because the parents did not love each boy the same. Isaac loved Esau, while Rebekah loved Jacob. Verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. The Bible here now would not have recorded this if it would have been just something slight where he might have just said, well, I like Esau and so on. But there must have been a dislike where Isaac simply loved Esau. That was his son. And he didn't care that much for Jacob. And Jacob was mama's boy. She loved him. Let's go back and read verse 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Esau was a go-getter. He was a strong boy and a strong man, while Jacob was laid back and did not have those qualities. It split the family. And you know yourself, if one of your parents simply didn't care for you, it was devastating. You want both mom and dad to love you and to care for you. Look at the names given to them. Esau means hairy. How do you like to call your son? Hairy. Lots of hair, boy. You are hairy. And Jacob means supplanter or swindler. Can you imagine Rebekah? Hey, hairy. Hey, swindler. Dinner is ready. These are curse words. You understand that later on, God said to Jacob, your name is no longer Jacob. Your name now is Israel. And Israel means a prince of God. He changed his name. Let's read what it says in the box here now. It all goes back to the trial of Lucifer. He was given a legal right to challenge every human being on this planet. In order to challenge Adam and Eve, God had to provide an object for Lucifer to use, like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the family of Isaac, Esau became the object of challenge. Now, last week when I preached, some of you did not quite understand what I talked about. And I simply said there's nothing to do if you are living a good life or if you are living a bad life, whatever it is. But every one of us will be challenged by Satan and the demons while we are on this earth. There will be a challenge, and the challenges will continue through our lifespan on this earth. And the reason for that is that Satan will try to simply derail us and move us astray. It doesn't mean you're a bad person if you're challenged. Matter of fact, if you read Job chapter 1, it's Job was challenged because he was good. He eschewed evil. He was a righteous man, and he was challenged. Isaac and Rebekah received Esau. Esau was the object of challenge. In your life, you will have objects, people, circumstances that will continually come around and come around until you are able to defeat it and say, I am not going to go there anymore. Let's talk about a dysfunctional family now. Once the boy had grown up and become man, the testing for both of them came and showed that Jacob lived up to his name. He was a swindler. And that Esau didn't care about his birthright. This test forever separated Esau and Jacob because Esau could have been in a lineage of the people of Israel. Now think about this right now. Esau, if he would have made the right choice, he could have been the heir for the next generation. But Esau did not care about his birthright. He didn't care about eternal things. He lived moment by moment. Let's read now verses 29 through 30. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray you, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, also red. Esau did not plan out his life. He just lived from day to day, going hunting, having a good time. And you have siblings that you grew up with. You have the same father, the same mother. You made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Other siblings made a decision not to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as time is going on, you can see a huge separation between your siblings. They're getting more hostile to the gospel. They couldn't care less. They are riding you all the time, telling you, you know what a hypocrite you are in following Jesus, and they're always on your case. And they get worse and worse. Let me now take you to a nursing home. When you go to nursing homes where people are the last part of their lives, those people who have rejected Christ in a lifetime, you will find that they are very hard. And as time is progressing and they are deteriorating, the demons are coming out stronger and stronger, and the person is getting fainter and fainter. And actually, toward the end, you will hear the demons speaking. They will be cursing, swearing, screaming, terrible voices coming out, the language coming out. It's not your sibling. It's not your mom. It's not your dad. It's not your uncle. The person now has become totally demonized. And they no longer can speak for themselves, but the demons now have taken over their bodies. Esau made a decision. I don't care about my birthright. Turn quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you pick it up from verse number 19. And this is what the prophet said. Wherefore then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul, that's King Saul, said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, have gone the way which the Lord sent me, have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took out a spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the thing which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being king. If you look upon King Saul, God selected him. He was anointed. God blessed him. And all God asked for him was, be obedient. You have accepted Christ, you're born again, you're secure. And no one can take away your salvation at this moment. When the mark of the beast comes up, that's if you take the mark of the beast, you can lose your salvation. Satan cannot take away your salvation right now. But he can steal your testimony. He can steal the life that God has for you. You married the wrong person, and you will regret it the rest of your life. You take the wrong job, and you will regret that for years to come. You make bad decisions, and you will lose the anointing. And Saul said to Samuel, verse 24, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and obey their voice. What a confession. I did sin. I fear the people. He didn't say he also lied. Now therefore I pray you pardon my sin and turn again me, that I might worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you. We have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. God forgave Saul. He was not lost, but he lost his kingdom. You and I sin. God will forgive us, but the blessing and the great life that God has planned for us will be gone. It will not happen. You can get something else. And I would say this, looking at this congregation, I don't think that any one of us here are in God's first choice. There might be some of you that have walked with the Lord and you were saved early and have been out in the world and destroyed yourself. But most of us adults here, we sinned. we didn't think we should have done. We got saved. God cleaned us up. But we are not living in the life that we could have had. But praise God, we got a fantastic future in heaven. And I think what we need to do is to recognize this and to tell our young people that the decision you make when you are 15 years old or 20 years old and so on, it will be very important that you make the right decisions. You make the wrong one, and it will come back and haunt you. Let's go back now to Genesis chapter 25. Esau was just like King Saul, who gave away his place in history through rebellion. Esau did not care about God's great plan for him and his descendants. Let's read from 25, now verse number 31. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day your birthright." Here was Esau now hungry, wanted a meal. His brother, the swindler, supplanter, said, "But yeah, I'll feed you. But it will cost you your birthright." How many of you have had siblings that have simply cheated you and said, "You need money? Yes, I'll give you a loan, whatever it is, but you sell me this or you give me that." If Esau would have thought, he would have simply said this, "I don't care about the food, I can go out and get something else. My birthright, my place in eternity with God. I'm not going to sell that for some soup." But look what he said. And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die." That's an exaggeration. He was hungry, cranky. "And what profit shall his birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. God had a plan for him. But Esau said, "Who cares?" Let's leave Esau now for a moment. And we turn now to Isaac. More testing. The same spirit of lying and fear passed to Isaac from his father. He didn't have enough faith, even though God appeared to give a personal message. Turn to Genesis chapter 26. Now we read the first four verses. "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in a land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn or stay in its land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto you and to your seed I will give all these countries. And I perform the oath which I swear to Abraham, your father." Again, we have a famine. This famine was not from the devil. God allowed a famine to be created. God creates situation in your life and my life. You lose a job. You have a problem. Different things. These are testings. Somebody is suing you. Somebody hits your car, whatever it is. Everything that happens is a test. The question is, how will we pass the test? In my outline, I said this. Now, take note that God was planning on blessing Isaac because of his father's faith. Look now, verse number 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Isaac was a caretaker. God did not really bless Isaac because of Isaac. He blessed Isaac because of his dad. Some of you have children, and God is blessing your children, not because of them, but because of you. They don't understand that. But one day, they will have to stand on their own two feet and realize that I have lived on mom's prayers all my life. I have lived on dad's faith all my life. The question is, are you going to live on your own faith? Isaac failed the test when it came. Let's read verses 6 down through 10. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest that he, the men of the place, should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. How much did Isaac know God? Not a whole lot. God told him, "I'm going to be with you, Isaac." But then, when men begin to say, "Now, who is this woman?" "Oh, that's just my sister." He lied just as his dad did Abraham, out of fear. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with his Rebekah, his wife. He was simply playing with her like with a wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, she is your wife. And how said you, 'She is my sister'?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, "What is this you have done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with your wife, and you should have brought guiltiness upon us." Isaac was caught. He simply said, "Well, I was afraid." But I want you to see something right now. Isaac is not going to have a prominent place in heaven. He's going to be there. But he's going to be a lesser figure. Because we don't hear a whole bunch more of Isaac of anything spectacular he did. Isaac had a miracle birth. He was told about that. He saw his dad. And knew what his father did. And when it came testing for him, he failed. Now, I'm challenging you because in most churches, they will not challenge you like this. They simply say, "Well, just come to church. Be sure you put your tithe in and, you know, keep your face clean and so on." I'm trying to challenge you to live way high, higher than most people do. I want to bring you on a higher level. And you and I are tested. When we have these tests, don't lose your temper. Don't get angry or sad or whatever it is. Simply say, this is a test. How does God want me to handle this situation? You are driving on the road, thinking about something else, and then you see that little red light coming back, and you hear the siren, and you look at the speedometer, it says 95 miles an hour, and so I didn't mean pay attention, and you get pulled over. Now, what's going to come out of your mouth? The officer going to say, roll down your window, show me your license, okay? And you know he will take up his little book, you know, and start writing. Are you going to say, well, officer, I did speed. I deserve a ticket. I could have killed someone. Thank you, officer. According to Romans, you are a servant, a minister from God. And I bless you, officer. God bless you, officer, for doing your job. Or will you sit there and curse and scream and scream and say, you know, these rotten police, they're everywhere, you know, blah, 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 blah. Are you going to pass a test? Tested we will be. Read what I have in a box here. God blessed Isaac because he was a son of Abraham. He became a caretaker with father faith, never developed his own faith. God allowed Isaac to prosper in the flesh. He became very rich. You read the rest of the chapter, very rich. But he was a lightweight in the spiritual world. My question to you is this. Do you plan to be a lightweight? Or do you plan to be a heavyweight in God's kingdom? Let's go down to rebellion of Esau. In verse number 34, we read this. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. God had instructed Abraham not to take a wife for Isaac from the nations around them. But Esau did what he wanted and did not care as he sank deeper and deeper into rebellion. This grieved Isaac, who was then in his early 80s, and Rebekah, since they believed that Esau was the firstborn and would carry the family to the next generation. Look in verse number 35, which was a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. It was some years later that Esau finally stood that his parents did not accept his Canaanite wives. Trying to do something spiritual, he went to his father's brother Ishmael, who had been rejected by God and married Mahalath, his uncle's daughter. Turn to Genesis 28:8. That's Genesis 28, verse number 8. And Esau, seeing that the daughter Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau to Ishmael, his uncle, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Too little, too late. He should have thought about this when he married his first wife. Esau did not make it. He lost his birthright. Let's look upon Jacob now. Jacob is now stealing the birthright. Go back to Genesis chapter 27. And I'm going to read this from my outline here. We're now going to look at the event when Jacob stole the birthright from Esau. In reality, he had already purchased the birthright, but their father had rejected a transfer and was determined to give it to Esau. Spiritually, Esau had sold his birthright. Isaac said, "I do not accept that." Have you read now? And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, "My son," and said to him, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray you, the weapons, your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I might eat, that my soul might bless you before I die." Isaac was determined to push Esau, regardless how he had lived. Isaac had lost his eyesight, most likely to cataracts. Rebecca saw a chance to fool her husband and have him give the birthright to Jacob. Let us look at the spiritual breakdown in this dysfunctional family. And you read now verses 5 through 10. And Rebecca heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob his son, saying, "Behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau your brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless you before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command you. Go unto the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats. I will make them savory meat for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, that he may bless you before his death." Rebecca had turned into a wicked woman. She still believed in God. But her love for Jacob, rejection of her other son, had perverted her to the place right now that she was lying and conniving to get it her way. She led Jacob to become a liar and a thief. Verse 11 through 12. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." He said, "Mom, I'm not that hairy. I don't want to be cursed. I want you to see now that the true characteristics here. Rebecca lying, and Jacob simply saying, he could have said, Mom, it's not right. We're not going to do it this way. It's going to be God's way. We're going to pray." But Jacob had also problems. And he simply willingly sinned and got the goats. And his mother said to him, "Upon me be your curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. Rebecca was a thief. Verse 15. And Rebecca took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put upon Jacob her youngest son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. She stole. She stole her oldest son's clothing. No regret. No feeling bad. And then verses 8 and through 20, let me read from my outline now. Jacob deliberately lied to his father without hesitation and guilt. He was not even afraid to use God's name and tell his father God helped him to get a deep, to get the deer supernaturally fast. Look at these verses now. If you read this, or verse number 17. And she gave the savor meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father, he said, Here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done according as you bade me. Arise, I pray you, sit and eat of my venison, that your soul may bless me. Serving goat, lying to his dad. And Isaac to his son, How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord your God brought it to me. When people begin to backslide, they will not hesitate to say, God did this or God did that supernaturally. They become depraved. Look at the television evangelists. I just watched a few minutes this morning a preacher here in town. I'm not going to give his name. And I know him well. Has a big church, about 5 to 10,000 people. And he walked around, raving around and said, I'm not going to be poor. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to take this anymore. We're going to have something. And he was hyping up the congregation. And he said, I got the vision. And he said, I put $4,000 down myself. And then he began to tell how the staff put money in and everybody else put money in. And then he came to the congregation, now put your money in. And he said, God has been speaking to me. That's lying. Lying with saying the Holy Ghost is doing this. Instead of coming out and saying, I got a vision. If you want to give, fine. But first to hype them up and say, you can be rich like me, if you only put the money in. How many events have you heard say this? You send your $1,000 today, that's a big blessing. You call right now, get it on your credit card, and you'll be blessed. God, you show me right now you're supposed to give $10,000. You ever heard that? Yes, we all have. Lying. We have now come to the place where we have a reprobate mind. My God, if you're lying, don't say to someone, God told me to do it. We should be praying day and night for God to preserve us. And Isaac said to Jacob, verse 21, Come near, I pray you, that I might feel you, my son, whether you be my very son Esau or not. Can you imagine the intense moment here? Here's Jacob with his dad blind, and saying, Come here, son. And Jacob went near to Isaac, his father. He felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. And he said, Are you my very son Esau? At that point, think about your own dad. Blind, holding your hand and saying, Are you really this my son? And you know you're lying. Would you say, Oh yeah, Daddy, I'm him. That showed how deep sin had got into Jacob. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat to my son's vengeance, and my soul will bless you. And he brought it near to him, and he'd eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And then you read the rest of it, how he blessed him. Now, Jacob played out the deception to the bitter end. Now, look, I'll read from my outline. Esau realized that he had lost his birthright. Jacob had barely finished his theft and left the tent when Esau arrived with his venison. It's important to note that when Isaac, in his blindness, understood he had been deceived by Jacob, he still could not reverse the blessing and bestowed upon Esau. Once word is spoken into the spirit world, they cannot be taken back. Verses 31 through 40. And he, Esau, had also made savory meat and brought it to his father, and said to his father, let my father rise and eat of his son's venison, that your soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said to him, who are you? And he said, I'm your son, the firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that had taken venison and brought it to me? I have eaten of all before you came. I have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, your brother came with subtlety, has taken away your blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? Swindler, for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered unto Esau, behold, I made him your lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for his servants. And the corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice, and he wept. Esau now realized what he wanted to be in God's plan. And now he could not be in God's plan. It was over. Let's go to the outline now and learn about this now. Where is God in this debacle? As I previously stated, God is all-knowing. And before he started the creation, he planned it all out and could see how everything will play out. Take your outline and turn to the chart that we have on the very last page. You realize that if Lucifer could have purchased this chart prior to his rebellion, he would have given not $1 million, not $1 trillion. He would have given everything he had to know this plan. This is God's plan for mankind. Notice now, God's not limited by time. We start in eternity. We end in eternity. Notice now, eternity going backwards. God has no beginning, no. He has no end. Eternity on both sides. And then we look down here. The first thing God did, as I spoke on it last week or week before, God created a master plan. Secondly, God created the angels. God created the universe. God allowed the rebellion of Lucifer with a war of rage throughout the universe. God held a trial for Lucifer. Adam was created and placed in the Garden of Eden where he succumbed to the devil. God allowed Lucifer to form false religions and led billions astray. Jesus came and died on the cross. God allows Lucifer to make war with the church, the body of Christ. God allowed the reign of the Antichrist. There will be a second return of Christ. God will refurbish the earth and set up a 1,000-year kingdom. God allows Lucifer one last attempt to deceive the people. There's going to be a great white throne judgment. All unsaved will be cast into the lake of fire. The creation will be dissolved. And God will start a new creation. Here's what I want you to understand as you look upon this. This plan was on, if I can use the term, God's computer before he did anything else. Before he started out the creation, he had this. God then looked forward in time and he saw absolutely everything played out. And he knew that you would accept Christ. The sibling would not accept Christ. He knew it in advance. Predestination is this. God knows in advance what will happen. But you and I still have the choice to make. He knows the choice we are going to make. But he allows us to play out. God knew all about the bad things that will come in this plan. And God said, I will let it run. And I will do what I'm going to do. Turn back now to where we were. Where is God? Turn now to Romans chapter 9. Romans, the 9th chapter. I want to share something with you that came to me very strong just this week. I was in college, and I had failed, and I didn't pass that 1 year. I had about 4 subjects I failed in. I had 4 F's. And they wouldn't let me go to the next class. And they simply told me, I'm finished. You're out of college. You cannot continue to pursue your engineering degree. God had a plan. My mother was working in a factory as a secretary. She had connection. Her boss actually was a very high up in education in Sweden engineering. And my mother went to her boss and said, please, can you give my son, can you do something to give my son a chance to see if he can test and make it? And he went all the way. He called and talked to people in Stockholm, the capital. And he got a promise. We overruled the school that I was going to and said, we will allow him to take 4 tests in the fall. If he passed them, he's back into engineering college. That was a hurdle. Take me now. I had about 8 weeks to learn 4 subjects that I have failed and got F in each one. They were not light ones. They were mathematics. There was some other way. Chemistry was a heavy subjects. I had no tutor. I was not walking with God. I had an uncle there from America that was tempting him playing chess every day. And my wife said, no, he can't play chess. He got to study. And I thought back, how in the world did I make it? I studied for about 8 weeks. And then went in and took these tests. They were not light tests. And I aced every one of them. I'm looking back now and saying that was a miracle of God. I was 20 years old, wild horse. But you see, this is what I want to bring out. God had seen me in his plan. And God knew that he was going to have me go from engineering to the ministry. And I needed that degree to get into seminary. And God said, I'm going to compensate. I'm going to help him. God has worked in all our lives and put things together when we did not know it. Let's read now from Romans chapter 9. Have you picked it up in verse number 10? For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. He was sent to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, nor him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. Let me read point number one. God knew the decisions Esau will make once he had been born on earth. God gave Esau a free will to serve or reject God. Esau was well educated in family history and knew that he was in a bloodline for the future Israel and the Messiah. But he was more interested in his own things. He was driven by feelings and his selfishness. He made the choice of rejecting his birthright. Since God knew it in advance, he hated Esau, but allowed him the freedom to be born and to make a mess of his life. Let me see if I can pull you together now. Let's talk about Adolf Hitler. God knew in advance that there will be an Austrian boy, half Jewish, half German, that will become the man of the Third Reich. God knew that in advance. God knew there was a little boy called Joseph Stalin that would become the dictator. He knew that. He has seen in advance how these men would make the decision. But God allowed them to be born and to make a mess of their lives. That's free choice. Because if God would have said, well, I know that Hitler's going to be pretty bad, so I'm just not going to have him born, then there would have been no free choice if God would have selected in the beginning, seeing what they would do. Free choice means you can live and do good, you can live and do bad. That's free choice. Point number two. Jacob was a liar, deceiver, and a thief who had not understood God's holiness. Nor did his mother and father, since they could not teach him something they didn't know themselves. But Jacob was hungry to be part of the bloodline of Abraham, and craved with all his heart. And God saw that Esau did not possess this hunger. And only read this verse. So then it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. In Genesis chapter 32, let's go back to Genesis chapter 32. And this is very important. If you understand this, you will have a much stronger Christian life. Genesis 32, verse number 6. We read there from 6 to 12. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you, and 400 with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds, and the camp to two bands, and said, "If Esau come to one company and smite it, then at the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said to me, 'Return unto your country and to your kindred, and I will deal well with you.'" "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have showed unto your servant. With my staff I passed over Jordan, and now I am become two bands." Look in verse number 10. "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies." Verse 11. "Deliver me, I pray you, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he would come and smite me and the mother with the children." God, before creation, saw Jacob on his knees, repenting. And he simply said, "I will forgive Jacob." Look at verse 24, the same chapter. "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' And he said, 'I will not let you go except you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob, swindler.' And he said, 'Your name shall be called no more swindler, but Israel. For as a prince you have power with God and with men and have prevailed.'" Jacob was just as sinful as Esau. What's the difference? The difference was that God saw in advance that Esau would reject God, but Jacob would repent and seek God. Think deeply with me now. Before you were conceived, God knew everything of your life and my life. And you and I have done some bad things. There's not a person that's done some bad things. And God looked down in time, and he saw the day when you knelt and asked God for forgiveness of your sins. He saw the moment of time when you repented and said, "My Heavenly Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose on the third day. I believe that you're my Messiah. Please forgive me. Come on in, Jesus." That was seen before the creation of the world. And God said, "I will work in your life and preserve you until the day that you come to that decision. And he will preserve us as we finish. But we still have a free choice. We have a free will." God knew from the beginning of the call me to preach. I could have said, on April 16, 1967, when God called me so hard I was shaking in my seat, I could have said, "No, I'm not going to give up my engineering. I'm going to stay there. I serve you, but not after the preacher." I could have made that choice. You will not be here today. This will not exist. Only people who have led to Christ would simply not be saved. There'd be a number of things that would just have evaporated. But I said yes. And I'm thankful that for most of my life, I have served the Lord in the calling of gaming. Not everyone is called to be a preacher. Not everyone is called to be a missionary. We got different callings. But stay in the calling God has given you and excel in it. Let me quickly wrap this up. The curse. Matter of fact, I'm going to leave that for my next sermon. There's a curse here that I want to talk about. But I'm going to come down to, I want you to turn with me to Romans 3:23. I want you to see something today. You know, none of us can brag and say I'm a great person. I read from my outline. Jacob was a terrible person according to God's standard. But he was looking to the Messiah. He was looking for forgiveness. It was given him. Remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now my closing scripture is 1 John chapter 1. It's 1 John chapter 1, familiar verses. And you pick it up in verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is a message which you have heard of him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Have I made mistakes since I surrendered to be a minister? Plenty of them. I have made some wrong decisions. Cost me dearly. Cost some people dearly. But this is what I have learned to do. I've learned to pray. And simply says, God, not my will, but yours. And what you need to do, if you really want to have victory in your personal life, is this. When you make decisions, don't say, okay, now which way should I go? But simply say, God, I want to do exactly what you have planned. God, I know that you have a plan for me. You have a plan for me. In that plan is a perfect job, a perfect situation, a perfect marriage. I don't want to go sidelined. I want to go straight to your perfect will. If you pray that prayer on a daily basis and think like that all the time, God will lead you perfectly into the absolute most awesome life that you can live. Even if you have been in defeat up to now, it can be changed and you can move into total absolute victory. How old was Moses when God called him? Moses was 80 years old. And God said, you're going to be leading my people out of Egypt. For 40 years more, he served. I don't care if you're 80, 90, 10, 11, 25 or between. God has a perfect thing for you. Line up with it now and live victorious from this day on. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you, right now, for this moment you gave us here. And Lord, I believe that all of us have made mistakes here and there and joined your Father God. But we have one thing in common. We continue being washed in the blood of Jesus. And we ask you today as a church, our Heavenly Father, we don't want to sit down with a grand plan for this church. We want to fit into what you have planned for us as a church and as individuals. And today, Father God, meet the people as we open up the altars. Let people come today and pray and be encouraged and strengthened. Let them make proclamation of victory, what they plan to do with their lives, according to your will. And I pray for those that are viewing us right now live, and those that are going to be watching us later on, that Father God, wherever they are, that they will simply go to you right now and say, my Heavenly Father, I understand predestination now. You know in advance the choices and the decision we're going to make. Help me to make the right choice at the right time in my life, all the time. And that's our prayer right now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The altars are open. The elders are here. Deacons is here. You come as God has been speaking to you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the second part in the series, Predestination, and was entitled, Every Human is Predestined. Pastor John used the biblical account of Esau and Jacob to show how Isaac and Rebekah were promised an heir by God, only to find out they had twins. Esau was the firstborn and rightful heir of the birthright to carry on the bloodline, but he was hated by God, whereas Jacob was loved. Both were sinful, so how could God possibly love one sinner but not the other? Repentance. God knew that Esau would spurn his birthright, but Jacob would crave to be a man of God with a repentive heart. God is righteous, all-knowing, and never surprised by our actions. He has given you a free will, but He also knows in advance how you will use it. This was a much-needed message on how to live your life in such a way that there will be victory and not defeat when it ends. It is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1209. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.